Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
Yay! Hey, all right.
Hey!
The Ewok horns. Shout out to the heavens. Gangs back together. As we announced last week, we are doing a little programming changes. We're going to have shows of just news, shows of just questions, our deep dives, Clone Wars Report returning. But most importantly, Joseph, we are joined once again with on this new show by Jennifer Landa.
Yeah, we are so very excited for our new news show, breaking news from a long time ago. We don't know what we're going to call it yet, just throwing some things out. But the important thing is we're going to be able to really concentrate on talking about some of our life in Star Wars adventures at the top of the podcast, like Ken and I have been doing for a while now, and then dive into the latest Star Wars news with Jennifer. Welcome back, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you to all of you who have said such kind words on Twitter and on Instagram. Oh my gosh, I've been so overwhelmed. I'm like, wow, people really like me. Thank you. That's so kind.
It's always nice to feel that. It's great to have you back. And really, in truth, your spirit was always here. Your programming, your Happy Beeps, Jedi Beeps, the entire catalog is here. But we're so happy that the opportunity exists for Jennifer to join on these shows here for the news shows. We are going to be diving in, like Joseph said, breaking news from a long time ago. It's not bad. That's not bad, Joseph. Don't hit yourself in the face for that one there. We're going to get to all that here in a second. We're going to remind you of that. First, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, as always, we'll have our 4center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. But as always, that's not all, Joseph.
No, we have another offer as well. Inside Editions is a publisher of a ton of great Star Wars books and other pop culture books. They are offering 35% off across their website if you use this special link, insideeditions.com/discount/FC35. This week, we're continuing to recommend the Inside Editions book, The Mini Book of Lightsabers. Jennifer, I don't know if you've seen this, but they're not lying. It is a book of lightsabers. I believe it's alphabetical by the owner of the lightsaber. And it's a little teeny tiny book, like a little Ewok Walkling could be reading The Mini Book of Lightsabers.
I love it. I want to get it for my girls. I'll use them in their like little dioramas and stuff. It'd be so cute.
They are just about, it's a pretty big book for Barbie, but around the right size. It's like right. A Taschen book for Barbie. Anyway, okay. If you're interested, you can use this link, insideeditions.com/discount/FC35.
It's a great book, and I had to remove it from my desk here because I have a habit when I record, I just have that nervous. I'm even now playing with my ring. I'll play with a post-it note, and sometimes you'll hear in a recording, I'll drop something. It's because I'm just kind of fiddling. The last time we recorded, Joseph, I had that book. I just kept flipping. I wasn't reading it. I just kept flipping the book. I got to put it. So it's on my shelf. I'm seeing it. I can't touch it.
Far away from grasping hands.
We're going to get into our segment. We always talk about life adventures, Star Wars adventures, and how they intertwine. We do want to acknowledge that this is you could say this almost any day. Quite frankly, the world is big enough and full of so many problems. But every once in a while, just things really just race to the forefront and affect all of us or on our minds. And there's a lot of things recently that are going on. I think last Thursday when we were recording, we actually had put out our episodes, but we had. The situation in Texas going on with Governor, don't get me started on that guy, but trying to win election through rattling fear and a horrible legislation out there. And that kind of was on everyone's hearts. And then the situation in the Ukraine where Putin invades that country there. And it's something that's close to me. To be clear, no one I know is over there still, other than a comedian friend of mine, turns out, was there developing a show and had to get out. But that's where my family is from. And so I've just been, focused on that, looking at that. And Joseph, we just want to acknowledge that's going on while we record today.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's been a weird several days where just like so much is happening and trying to find that right line between a lot of discussion on social media of like, we need to still find joy. We need to still communicate with one another. We need to still joke. But then that kind of fine line of like, here's my podcast. On Thursday, like you said, we released the episode, but we held off on promoting it. And yeah, it's this kind of delicate time where you want to continue with life to, use the Star Wars analogy to celebrate the light side, but you also don't want to just ignore the really dangerous and upsetting things that are going on. So we want to fully acknowledge them as we plunge into fun Star Wars world and fun world.
Yeah, yeah. Jennifer, I know you'd agree, and you raising those young Padawans, the state of the world can sometimes get you down even more than us.
Oh, it's just constant, whether it's climate change or what's happening now with Ukraine. It's overwhelming. Look into their generation. But I think, unfortunately, we have to move a lot sooner than that, obviously. So,
yeah. Yeah, and part of diving into Star Wars is to take those big themes from a galaxy far, far away and apply them to what we all experience in life, big and small. But we also recognize this podcast is a distraction in a good way, not a head in the sand type of way, but a distraction. I had it described by a listener, Trey Thompson, who writes in every now and then. It was like, hey, you don't understand with the state of the world going on, everything. It is a fun routine, a needed routine to put on my headphones to listen to you guys at work. For a couple hours, and we understand the value of that. We're no heroes here. We're just doing our fun Star Wars podcast, but we appreciate that. We're all in this together, is what we're saying. But also, we are going to celebrate Star Wars. The news, we got a lot of things to get to here, and our own life adventures. I'll start with you, Joseph, because you took one of the most beautiful photos I've ever seen on the internet. Two martinis in the moonlight. How was your life adventures?
You know, sometimes a week will happen and we are talking about our life adventures. And I'm just like, I did all my stuff. Some things were happy. Something I was writing podcasts. I felt happy, felt sad. This was a bonkers, big week for me. And honestly, Star Wars really helped a lot. So big thing is, you know, my wife and I bought a house in Minneapolis where we used to live back in 2008. We did not buy it out of real estate acumen. We bought it because we just fell in love with that house. And eventually we realized that we wanted to be somewhere else, moved to Los Angeles. We weren't able to sell the house. We've been renting it for years. So the time finally came that it's time to sell the house. The renters moved out. The market's good. This is clearly the time. I almost think about that house like a relationship that didn't work out. Like, you know, back in dating days, we're like, we both really like each other, but it's just, we need to be at different places. It's just like, I love you, but it didn't work out. So it's been this, it was this really weird process to sell it and to not physically be there. And, you know, normally when you sell a house or even move, you go right from the old to the new. So just long story short, it just hit me like a ton of bricks of just like, I absolutely know it is time to let go of that. But I love that house. And it hit me much harder when I was just sitting here on a Wednesday and just got an email like, you don't own that house anymore. You can't walk in there. And it was one of those times where the lessons of Star Wars, Star Wars pulls philosophy from lots of other places. So it's not the only place to find these lessons. But since we spend so much time with Star Wars and it's a fun world of aliens and laser swords that also contains this philosophy, it really helps for me to think a lot about the idea of letting go, and that sometimes it is totally okay to be sad and still know it's time to let go. Like holding on to that house wouldn't have done anything. It would have just, we weren't going to move back. More renters would have come in. It would have taken us, it would have been a stressful experience for us. It would have just been clinging to something. And it was this really great Star Wars lesson of like, yeah, you, the whole attachment thing isn't just about like never care about anything. It's realize when you're maybe being destructive to yourself to hold on to something because you're just afraid of letting go and experiencing that, the pain, you know? And it was really, really sad. I cried a lot.
Yeah.
Because it just took me by surprise. But then it also felt good to realize that I could let go. And then, and then we took a quick weekend trip to the beach that which we had already planned and took some pictures of cocktails. And that was great too.
Love, no, hey, I get it. As someone who has cried every time he's moved out of a house or apartment in LA for the last 24 years, even the one I was desperate to get out of, I understand of these eras of your life, these chapters of your life and having access to it and the walls could speak. I felt it when I saw your Facebook post about it. I feel it now. I understand what you're saying. And a powerful lesson of Star Wars there.
Yeah. And it was I posted about it on Facebook and people were very kind. It was nice to hear from other people who understand it. And it was great to find solace in Star Wars. So I could go on, but I'm going to stop because I want to hear other adventures from you two.
I'll go next because mine are a little less. And then Jennifer, this is your first real time you sharing adventures in a while. We want to hear yours here. for me, it was another busy week and the state of the world. Again, this Ukraine situation is something I've grown up with. My grandmother was from Kiev. My grandfather was Circassian. I've told some of the stories here. And growing up in the 80s, coming of age in the 80s, it was just always easier to say I'm Russian. That's not true. My dad was born in Graz, Austria on the way over. My grandmother was kicked out of the USSR by Stalin's regime after the war, as was my grandfather. They met in a relocation camp. So I've grown up for 46 years now, coming up for 46 years, of hearing my grandfather, who passed away only 2 years ago, my grandmother last year, hear my grandfather curse the name of Putin and Stalin. And so many. I mean, literally, there was a movie about Stalin. I think stars Robert Duvall. I was going to look it up. It's a weird kind of almost a TV movie. And my grandfather would watch it on repeat. And when I would just come visit and we'd go get some El Pollo Loco chicken, he'd just sit there and he just would tell me some of the stories of things experienced. So it's just one of those ones that's just, I don't want to say I'm super connected to it, right? I'm not there. I'm in Burbank. No tanks are on my doorstep here. I want to be clear about that. But I've just, it's been fascinating to watch that. But also at the same time, Joseph and I are studying the Onderon arc in Clone Wars that we're going to talk about this week, which makes you go, oh my. Star Wars is dealing with some very deep, important things here, as they always are. And this Star Wars, as Joseph, you wonderfully said, Star Wars is all about avoiding wars. Not just deep insight. That's what's there. That's what's there. And that's the tension. And so it's been a weird week to study Star Wars while there's something. And again, this stuff plays out everywhere all the time, right? You could pause at any moment and find some kind of horrible, oppressive thing going on or a regime doing something bad. But it's just such on the world stage. So I can't separate the two. It's been that kind of week of watching it and then trying to concentrate on Star Wars, and then Star Wars telling me, no, it's okay to look at the real world because we've been talking about this for decades.
Mm, that is really powerful. And yeah, I hear what you're saying about like there aren't tanks on your doorstep in Burbank, but I think it is powerful that for you, you have a connection to the place. It is a real place to you. It isn't, you know, something from a geography book, you know, it is, and that's the way it should be to all of us. But I think it's important to hear from people like you who have that life history to really see, you know, everywhere in the world is a real place. And for you to have that experience that this is a real place happening to real people.
Yeah, I always bet. I mean, my grandmother's sister who passed away maybe a decade ago or so, she lived in Chernobyl all the way through it. Wow. Through that time and beyond. And my memories of my grandmother sending her food and clothes for years upon years. And then having grandparents who always say, eat, Kenny, eat. And I had to eat every morsel of the plate because their grocery stores in the 40s during the war had nothing on it and was never going to have anything on it. It's a different perspective. And again, I'm wonderful life, wonderful life. I don't want to ever falsely connect myself to something, but it was hard. But Star Wars, again, like Joseph, you selling a house, Star Wars is there to comfort you and teach you and push you forward. And Star Wars this week, oddly enough, I mean, the Onderon arc is based on the Soviet-Afghan conflict. it's really weird to watch it this week, but weird in a good way of let's analyze the bigger issues going on. So anyways, that's on the positive note, I'll say this. I also got a great unexpected Star Wars gift this week. My pal, Jason Inman, who, you know, we don't talk all the time, right? I don't see him all the time. Every once in a while, we'll run to an event. He's busy writing, working. And all of a sudden, I get a text from him. He goes, hey, what's your mailing address? I'm like, well, I know he and his wonderful partner, Ashley, have been married for a couple of years. When someone asks for your address, it's usually that, right? Right. He goes, I got something for you. And I went to my mailbox this week, opened it up, and it was a mini Y-Wing. That I heard a note said, hey, I heard of one of your streams that, you know, I know you love the Y-Wings, but you don't have a Y-Wing, you said. So I got you a Y-Wing. And it's a little scale, you know, mini Y-Wing there, but 6 inches long. And it was just great to open up and get a gift of the Y-Wing, gift of Star Wars from my friend Jason. So thanks for that, Jason. So that's my list. Jennifer, take us home with your Star Wars adventures.
Let's see. Well, over the past week, I got to create a post for StarWars.com, some last-minute costumes for Celebration.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was a little last minute, so there I was creating these. I was like, how fast can I make these costumes? This is going to be good for somebody who only has a few days before Celebration to put something together. But the Book of Boba Fett has so many easy costumes to replicate. I really wanted to do Drash and Scad. I really wanted to put on a trench coat and like do a little spin, take a photograph of. I'm like, okay, I'll save that for another time. But I ended up doing a Cobb Vanth cosplay. And then I did a Star Wars bound, which is really a fun way to cosplay, which is just taking everyday, you know, clothes and kind of making it evoke a character. And I did Sai Snoodles because, nice. As you guys know, I love that Palwick singer. She is amazing. And it came together. And I shot it in Los Angeles out on the street. It was a little awkward to be there being like an influencer in the wild, but I'm not an influencer. But people were giving me thumbs up and they liked the Sai Snoodles dress. So I was like, all right. They have no idea that this is Star Wars related. So that's pretty a win, I think, with a Star Wars bound.
Wait a minute. How does a creative person like you who once did a Star Wars dance in a Grand Central Station on camera, how do you get nervous on the street? Is this just a constant cycle of nervousness in the success?
I think it's like now my social anxiety is like flared up again since I've been home for the past 2 years, you know, in my house all the time. But then I got into it and it was fine and it was not a big deal. But yeah, I kind of had to think of it like that. You're right. Like I'm doing a performance. It's easier if I get into that actor mode. But so that was silly. And then my daughter's friend came over and she's 8 and she's like, "Why do you have a pizza on your wall?" And I went, "What?" And I looked and she was pointing to the, we have a Star Destroyer pizza artwork on our wall. And she doesn't know how much I'm into Star Wars. I don't even know if she knows what Star Wars is. Mm. And so I was like, "Well, that's a pizza because I like pizza. And that's actually a starship going on, you know, Star Wars." And she just looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, "Well, it's meant to be kind of funny." And she just stared at me and didn't laugh. Oh. And my daughter's just like, "My mom likes Star Wars a lot."
Well, I can see if you're being judged for your pizza Star Destroyer decor in your own home, that it might make you a little bit nervous when you go out onto the street dressed as Sai Snoodles.
Maybe that's it. I've become a mom and I see that my child, whenever I put on these crazy costumes, she'll just be like, "Mom, what are you doing?" Doing something for Star Wars. Oh gosh, but I do love it so, and it was a wonderful distraction, and you know, kind of, I mean, we need art, we need forms of escape during difficult times, and I can always rely on Star Wars to provide that much needed escape and just kind of happy momentary you know, happiness. So
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to see this article. I mean, the Cobb Vanth, how distinctive that look is. But how accessible. Like, I feel like I could go to Target and make a Cobb Vanth.
You totally can. I could have gotten really, like, you know, nerdy. I was like, "Oh, it's a Swiss dot, you know, shirt." And I'm like, we got to make this easy for everyone, you know? So, and Timothy Oliphant, I just love him so much as an actor. So it was kind of fun to impersonate him and his swagger.
That's great. Yeah. If I'm going to Target, I don't need, what did you call it? A Swiss dot? No, I just need red shirt. That's great. Well, you talk about the temporary joy of Star Wars. It's a temporary lifetime supply of joy there. Well, that's great stuff. We've adventured, we've lifed, and now we are going to look at Star Wars news. We're going to start with, actually, I'm going to start with a confession, Joseph, if I may.
Yes, please.
I've been going back on Acast and having to drop mid-roll commercial breaks into all of our old episodes. It's a long process. Almost done. I have a couple years left, but got most of them done. I have to go back in the older episodes before we took breaks and find good spots, which means I have to listen to pretty much every podcast. I've been listening to old episodes, and the way Jennifer ran the news, I feel intimidated running the news now in front of Jennifer. It's just good memories of good times. But we're going to start with a light spoiler warning for this first article, news story, only because there's nothing that is actually spoiler in it, but the speculation and just the fact that it's out there could lead you to maybe feel spoiled for Kenobi or any upcoming series. So we're going to give that light warning if you're that type of fan who wants to know. Absolutely nothing. We always respect that, and we give you that chance to duck out now here for this first story. But for those that have stuck around, Ian McDiarmid talks the potential for more Palpatine. I'm adding the exclamation point. This reading from our friends at Star Wars News Net, but taking a story, covering a story from Metro, which is, I read the actual article. It's like, almost like the old TV Guide interviews. It's just like a panel on stage, like gossip around town. Here's the hot or not, who wore it better, all those kind of things.
Answer would be hot if it is.
The Emperor himself, Ian McDiarmid, was talking with Metro. The actor said that Palpatine is dead, dead, dead after the events of Episode 9. Those are my words and his point of view. He had a great statement about his ungrateful granddaughter ending things for him. But he added that it's possible that, as he said, Vader's mentor might be discovered once again, sulking in the shadows. Now, this, of course, confirms nothing. It's just an actor we love answering a question asked, but with Kenobi, Andor, Lando, and of course, more stories on the way. It's not unreasonable to wonder about the further adventures of Sheev. So I want to go to you both here with gut reaction. Jennifer, do we like the idea of him popping up anywhere at this point in the Star Wars story?
I like it. You know, I've warmed up to the idea of cameos and quick appearances. I just think it adds to the story. It adds to the continuity. You know, of course, I at least hope that he's mentioned in Kenobi, right? Like, I mean, so if he just, if, whether it's a flashback or I don't know, I don't mind him lurking in the shadows. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's good to have the evil lurking in the shadows, right? That's evil that's driving anywhere, meaning for the sake of the story. Joseph, I want to almost ask, you know, specifically about Kenobi for you. And you and I spent a lot of time talking about Palpatine, how we love to hate him, and that's key to the story. Your gut reaction to what McDiarmid's saying here.
Yeah, no, I'm thrilled by it. I love this little Metro article that is mostly about his theater career. He's such a grand old person of the theater. If I can actually just read his quote, because it's so funny. Yeah. I think I have to accept that thanks to my ungrateful granddaughter, my annihilation was finally final. Of course, Vader is back in the new television series, so I suppose it's not impossible that one day his mentor might be discovered again, skulking in the shadows. It's such great flavor and perspective from Ian McDiarmid. But I also do think like the skulking in the shadows, there's some truth there, and I agree with what Jennifer is saying is, sometimes these shows are telling a narrative in which you're like, well, wouldn't it make sense for Vader to just get a holocall from Emperor? But then you have this sort of like, but that's not the way it's done. You know, massively important characters can't just cameo for 30 seconds. And I like that we're living in a world where if the actor's up for it, they can. Yeah. Because it really makes sense for them to be there.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, the Kenobi and Andor specifically, we don't really know much more about the Lando show idea, obviously. But the Kenobi Andor thing, he's in charge. He's the boss. He's handling something, having to launch your paperwork. He's going to hear something eventually. So just in that way alone, my gut reaction is I love this idea, but I love it more for Andor than Kenobi. Meaning there's something about what's going on with Vader and has been going on that, I don't know, I could see him agreeing to talk to Kenobi or going to confront Kenobi and not wanting his mentor, his boss, his old pal, Sheev, to know anything about it. Sheev might find out, might feel it. I love that kind of thing, too. That weird kind of long-term war going on between Palpatine and Vader that culminates in Return of the Jedi. I just like the idea of Vader trying to hide that, whereas in Andor, I almost want a scene of a spy in Palpatine's office. Trying to get around it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, when you think about, well, what kind of role could he play in these upcoming shows, right? I think in Andor, it's interesting to me to think of, like, could he be a focus in terms of how other Imperials feel about him? Because Andor is, you know, trying to turn people or, you know, get them, get information from them. And so my mind goes to, is there room for a story of, you know, an Imperial kind of realizing the truth of who and what old Sheev Palpatine is? That's a story we haven't seen on screen a lot of, like, well, the Empire is the legitimate government and it keeps all the ships running on time. He's an evil wizard. What the hell? That story is really fascinating to me. And then I have Kenobi thoughts, but Ken, let me know when you want me to go full Kenobi. I want to restrain myself.
Well, I'll kick it back to Jennifer here in a bit. Andor, how excited are you for Andor, and does Palpatine fit into your excitement for that show, if you have it?
Yeah, I guess I had never really thought about it. You know, I'm so focused on Kenobi that Andor, I'm like, oh my gosh, we are getting so many Star Wars stories. But I think narratively it fits well. Selfishly, I really want to see Ian McDiarmid back. Mm-hmm. And just when he is on screen, I want them to, you know, if it's just one scene, just give him all these delicious lines that he can just, you know, deliver so well. I mean, everything he says, even if it's just like one word, he just, or two words, do it. It's all so memorable and iconic. So if he does make an appearance, I can't wait. And now that you say Andor, yeah, I mean, it absolutely fits. Maybe more than Kenobi? I don't know.
Maybe, yeah, on the surface. But Joseph, yeah, it is time to kick it back to you for a segment we like to call Kenobi Talk with Scrimshaw. What was the thematic value of the Architect of Evil showing up in even small role or cameo in Kenobi and or mean to you? And yes, let's focus on Kenobi.
Yeah, I think for Kenobi, I feel like a chunk of the show has to be the battle for Anakin slash Vader's soul, right? I still think, you know, a rematch of the century is there's going to be an amazing lightsaber force fight, but I think it is about Kenobi facing that he didn't destroy Vader or save Anakin, and, you know, getting to see Obi-Wan thinking as Luke did in Return of the Jedi, trying to get through to him. If that is on the table and it is about Vader's soul, then Kenobi is the angel on one shoulder, Palpatine is the devil on the other. Like,
right.
In the loss of Anakin, Anakin obviously makes his own choices, but a big part of that story is him kind of flailing around looking for guidance from a parental figure. He wants Kenobi to be like a father figure, and Kenobi always kind of reframes it as a teacher, a brother, and Palpatine slides in and pretends to be the loving, supportive father figure who, you know, tells Anakin everything he wants to hear. So I feel like that is, he's the other side of Kenobi if you're looking at it from Vader's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So there, that's one thought. And then the other thought that I really like is, I don't know how much they would spend time exploring this, but I think Palpatine fears the hell out of Kenobi. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that line in Revenge of the Sith, I believe that he is not being melodramatic. I mean, he is because he's Palpatine. But when he says the Jedi are relentless, there's so much fear. He's just like, I won for 5 seconds, but I always got to be looking over my back. You know, the entire sequel trilogy is like, if Luke Skywalker speaks to another person, 1,000 Jedi will emerge. We have to get him. Like, he is afraid of Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Kenobi is an unbreakable Jedi. I think Palpatine knows I couldn't. Give me 1,000 years and I couldn't break Kenobi.
Yeah.
He's an unbreakable Jedi and one of the few people who could still get through to Vader. A scene that I would love is if Inquisitors just happen to get a hint of Kenobi being alive, and that's kind of what kicks off the story. A scene of Inquisitors telling Palpatine that Kenobi might be alive and Palpatine just kind of losing it. Like, no. So great.
I love what you're saying here, and his relationship with Kenobi. I had mentioned recently some of the Star Wars Archives comments from Lucas himself to Paul Duncan that the Darth Talon stuff came out of those news articles. But in that article, it's this idea of Palpatine being pretty upset that Kenobi damaged the toy he just bought. Like, he got this bad version of the toy he's been coveting the whole time, this broken in half Vader that he's, you know, reconstructed to the best of his ability, but kind of sets Palpatine on this course of maybe also seeking out other options too along the way. Hey, look, he's got an offspring. Hey, that's a better offer. So you're right. There's a built-in, not rivalry like it's a sports contest, but I love a fear that nags at Palpatine. So you're right. To my earlier statement of Vader trying to keep it secret, maybe that's part of the tension. Vader is trying and Palpatine's starting to sense something, and maybe that creates a tension with the devil on his shoulder. I don't know where to take it from there because I'm not a talented writer like that. But I'm putting it all on the table here. Jen, anything jumping out here that you like about these scenarios?
Well, now I'm all on board with Joseph's Kenobi pitch. I think that's great. And I think it's the moment that The Book of Boba Fett, for me, what I enjoyed so much about it was it brought back these characters and these aliens and all these things that we want to see. And so it's like fan service at its best because it works for the story and it works for us fans who want to see those things. And so I think seeing Palpatine and Vader and Kenobi, it just would be wonderful fan service, but also I'm sure that it would work beautifully for the story. So I am on board with that now.
How do you feel, Jen? There's been this conversation for the last year or so. Bad Batch kind of seemed to intensify it. Boba Fett do that, even Mando season 2, of other characters that we know. Hey, look at the screen. That's that person we know showing up in other stories, and it could distract or it could be a trick that people don't like. And maybe people like Joseph and I are analyzing each appearance case by case and seeing what it impacts, how it impacts the story, impacts the main characters. Just on the surface of good old Palpy shows up again, does that take away or add your overall enjoyment of Star Wars when you see someone you know?
I think for me it adds because we know the characters' histories, their relationships with these characters. For me, it enriches. And I think for like the casual fan, I think it can also be like, hey, I know that guy. I've seen him before. I know he's really bad, you know? And I think that this new era of Star Wars is so good at playing on those levels where it's like it can appeal to somebody who's brand new to Star Wars, and it can appeal to us who like to dive deeper and who will go back to this episode of the Clone Wars, blah, 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 right? And I think that's what Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau and obviously Kathy Kennedy and the whole crew, that they're doing so well, is connecting these threads and just giving us more things to dive into. So I really appreciate it.
Plus, if he shows back up, Jed, you've got a built-in article of how to dress like Palpatine with a bathrobe from Target.
Star Wars bound as Palpatine.
First, buy a bathrobe, then go into a local forest, find a wizened tree branch and paint it black. That's your cane.
There's something there. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I guess a question back to you, Joseph, and I never want to contain your Kenobi thoughts. So go anywhere you want to go with this idea. We're not suggesting that Palpatine would or should be a big bad in any way in the Kenobi series, but Kenobi, Vader, a rematch of the centuries, all those things have been sold. It does make sense in a lot of ways. Would just pulling back a little bit from the outside looking in, would it distract? Would you worry that it would distract? Probably not you. You and I, Jen, we know Palpatine's back. We're going to put on that robe we just bought at Target based on Jen's article and enjoy the over melodramatic evilness that's on the screen. But would you be worried about that conversation?
No, myself, no. I think for the most part, the other characters popping up have either been like cameos out of just like fun and love of the directors that are like on record, like Gareth Roberts saying like, here's Dr. Evison and Ponda Baba because I love them. And they don't matter to the story. They're a blip. Mm-hmm. And every other character that has popped up has mattered to the story. And I think with Palpatine in the Kenobi series in particular, this already isn't like, hey, we're doing brand new characters you've never heard of. It's Kenobi and Vader during the height of the Empire. Mm-hmm. In that Kenobi sizzle reel, there are already two pieces of concept art where I'm like, well, Palpatine really maybe should be in that. Like Vader's taking that phone call. That Zoom call that looks really upsetting, like he's like annoyed he had to put on his limbs and get out of the tank for this call. Like that concept art begs for an appearance of Palpatine. There's that one piece of concept art that to me looks like it might be the former Jedi Temple turned into the Imperial Palace.
Mm-hmm.
It would be amazing to just see a shot of Palpatine sitting in what used to be, the main Jedi meeting room, right? Yeah. So for me, I think with something like this particular show with Kenobi, I actually, if I had to guess, don't think there's going to be like a big substantive scene. I think there's a lot of interesting ideas that I get excited about. But I think a call with Vader, a hollow call with Vader, I think is really a good bet and makes a ton of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to end this story doing exactly opposite of what our t-shirt preaches. We're going to speculate irresponsible. Joseph, you kind of put some chips on the table there. I'm just going to ask Jen, Palpatine and Kenobi, yay or nay, right or wrong, lose the bet if it's wrong. What do you think? Beyond what you want, what do you actually think?
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're doing it. I mean, why not, right?
Yeah.
He's there. He's on board in McDermott.
Yeah.
Get him on the call.
That's
Zoom call.
Why not? As Joseph has led the discussion around here, is one of the more driving questions for creators in Star Wars, right? Why not?
Yeah,
I am going yay only because not because I think McDermott let it slip or is having. I mean, he'd be doing this all the time, but I don't think this was intentional. Like Lucasfilm said, go out and do this interview about your theater career and then sneak in. But as the gathering storms of evil start swirling around Kenobi, this makes sense. I'm going yay. Joseph, do you want to solidify your bet here?
Yeah, I'm a hard yay. I think that this is a wonderful cheeky quote from Ian McDermott and absolutely could mean nothing. But because it makes so much sense to the story of Kenobi and the possibility that it's not he's the third lead and he's been in L.A. for 6 months and we didn't know. I think it's the fact that self-film yourself and we'll add it to a holocall. I think there's a good possibility that this has already happened.
Yeah,
that he's filmed it, that it's in the can.
I like that. I also like the idea that maybe there's nothing more than like an oil painting of him on a wall.
What if he just recorded like a commercial? Like it's just we're on Coruscant and he's just like, remember to love the Empire.
Yeah. Good. Well, let you know, one of the things in going back and listening to old episodes, I've had a chance to see a lot of our, speculations in the past. And some of them have been really remarkably close.
Yeah.
And others, wildly off, which is how it works, which is why we don't play that game. We just have fun talking about themes, but fun to wonder and fun to put down some figurative bets on the Canto Bite table of Star Wars speculation. All right, next story here. Mando, the Mandalorian, is getting a comic adaptation. A new eight-issue series is coming from Marvel. This is an episode-by-episode adaptation of season one of The Mandalorian. Rodney Barnes wrote it with art from Georges Ginty. Ken, you said that all wrong. The series starts in June. A couple years after season one of Mandalorian. So, other than the art of books, which are wonderful, we have the second one. We're going to take a dive into that. Additional Mando materials really yet to emerge, including those projects that have been previously announced, like the book, the novelizations, all that kind of stuff. So what do we like about this comic coming out now, Joseph?
Yeah, I think it is a couple of things I love about it. The first season of Mandalorian in particular really had that energy of people who grew up with the original trilogy playing with their action figures. That is something that we've talked about a lot. That's something that Favreau has explicitly said. Like, what if you had just a bunch of the kind of side action figures and you had one Boba Fett and then you made a whole story out of that? And that's the first Disney Plus show. There's so that spirit of the experience of growing up with Star Wars in that original trilogy era. Of course, it is open to everybody. I don't think there's anything, gated off about it. But coming from that generation myself, the comic adaptations of the films were such a big deal because they were one of the ways to access the story when I didn't have it on any sort of home video. So I think anything in Mando that kind of connects to that energy of what it was like to grow up then. I love having the retro figures of the Mandalorian characters, things like that. So I'm really excited to have a comic book adaptation because it feels like it's the spirit that the Mandalorian emerged from.
Yeah, that's a good thought about that there. Jen, you getting these comics? What do you think about them coming out? What do you think?
I am so excited to see Grogu in comic book form. I've been wanting more Mandalorian stuff. So this is really exciting. And Georges Ginty's, his artwork style, if you go to his Instagram, you can see it's really detailed. And I'm excited to see his take on this story, and I'm already getting ideas for how I'm going to copy those pages and I'm going to use them for decoupage, and I'm going to create frames. I'm going to create all sorts of, vases, whatever, because I just know it's going to be beautiful. Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. And I apologize. Usually I try to look up and make sure I can get some pronunciations, better. I've always struggled to say the word. It's been one of the great ironies of my life. I ran a little late on notes this morning. So apologize.
No worries.
I love what you're saying, Joseph, too, about the books in the past and like I even have the Heir of the Empire ones. And I have not read them since I bought them, which is weird to say. I have a weird relationship with that book series where I love it because it brought Star Wars back. But over the years, it's become less and less a story that I like. And I have the comics because I want to go take some time and look and revisit it from this point of view and see what each frame does to the story, slowing down in a way the story. And Mandalorian season one, I won't say it doesn't move at a breakneck pace, right? But it's that tone poem thing we always talk about. It's offering a lot up, and I think if you can even slow those tone poems down a little bit more, I think I'll learn more from the series. So I'm excited, and I guess I want to kick it back to you, Jennifer, too. You say you want this, you want more Mando content. What do you hope to learn from this particular retelling, other than more wonderful Grogu art?
I think what I like about the comics is that they can sometimes give insight into what the character is thinking. And so I appreciate that, especially with Mando and, when he first discovers the child, to get like his inner thoughts. And I know that they can't go too far with it. You know what I mean? We're going to be scouring the story for any new nuggets. We're not going to learn anything new about like the Grogu Yoda Yaddle species or anything like that. But there could be some little, kernels of insight. And I think that makes it fun. But at the same time, obviously, they have to be careful with what's presented in the show,
yeah,
canon and all that.
Yeah, I think they're not going to go, crazy with going into Din's head. But even mm-hmm. something as simple in the visual storytelling of, you know, his relationship with O'Mara, right? Like a mm-hmm. panel where he looks more broken up about the choice to leave her, right? Like
yeah.
just a visual adaptation choice that gives you the opportunity to see it a moment from a slightly different perspective or dive mm-hmm. into a specific emotional beat. And like, because you can just stop and stare at it or make a vase out of it.
Yeah.
You know, you can really celebrate a specific emotional moment that is frozen on the page.
Mm. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. How, Joseph, I'll start with you. Jennifer kind of touched upon it. You're like, how much would you want from Grogu's point of view? I wouldn't expect that too much. And I think there's some mystery they need to keep there. But I don't know. Just seeing a little things from his eyes, even just from a panel looking out, I don't know. How much do you want from Grogu?
I kind of want that. I think that's the biggest challenge of this comic book adaptation is, as far as live action storytelling goes, The Mandalorian is already very much like a modern comic book. There's a lot mm-hmm. of action. The dialogue is sparse. The important, some of the most important emotional beats are visual, right? I mean, you can almost imagine the comic book panels of Din looking at that little silver ball and making the choice to go back. And it's just told visually. Mm. You go along with that so much of the power of Mandalorian is the visual storytelling, not just on the screen, but in the fact that it ends with artwork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So many of the moments when I was picturing, like, what do I want to see? And I was like, do I want to see them just recreate all the concept art that we know? I started listing images that, like, yeah. we know they're iconic because they're the concept art that's at the end of the episode that mm-hmm. are in the wonderful art of books. That's the yeah. biggest thing for me is how much are they just going to try to have it be this visual delight, but try to have it be literally from different perspectives than some of the famous images we know.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. Jen, you intrigued by this here? You're our Grogu expert here.
I'm my Grogu expert. I mean, yeah, I think that they have to, right, to make it, you know, not just a collector's thing, but make people talk about it and say, hey, just see, we get to know a little bit about what Grogu is thinking when he wants to, you know, save Din Djarin from the, what is it, the Mudhorn or whatever. I think that could be really interesting. And it's what I, like I said, it's what I look to in the comics to get those little moments inside the character's thoughts, inside the toddler thoughts of Grogu. Yeah. I think he was probably closer to like 18 months in the first season of The Mandalorian.
Yeah. You're getting me really excited for like the comic book version of Grogu cam where we're like just seeing things like his little hand sticking out and then you see the Mudhorn floating from Grogu's perspective.
Uh-huh. Right? You know that's going to be there. I love it. I'm getting excited. It's thrilling.
Love that. Well, yeah, I think we're collectively excited for this. Again, great value. A lot of fun. All the adaptations they've done for the comics, that's why I was bummed they didn't do the Rise of Skywalker one, which they pulled off. And I think Jody Houser was putting that together
and
not to do it is they're fun. The Last Jedi one, the Rogue One comics, they're real fun. And it's fun to look at a story you know and know so well from a different point of view. So we'll take a look when those come out again in June. All right. We are going to take a quick break. Before we do, though, we're going to recommend an audiobook for you. Joseph, what do we got today?
We are recommending Midnight Horizon by Daniel Jose Older. We'll be discussing it very soon. It is a great High Republic adventure. It's the one that I was reading when I found out that my house had indeed been sold. It's a very emotional book. It's good for lots of things, so I highly recommend it.
To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrials.com/4center. Again, that's audibletrials.com/4center for your free audiobook. All right, we're going to take a break, but not get to your questions. We've got some more news and a new segment on the way here. This is 4center.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Force Center, the big show, one of the main shows, part of the Superstar Destroyer fleet we're always sitting on here, and, you know, some other light side ships as well, let's be clear. Superstar Destroyer just flowed out from my tongue one day, and it never left. From my mouth, my teeth. All right, Ken, stop being weird. Here we go. We got our final story of the day. I just wrote in my notes, Attack of the Clones, and I forgot to write the rest of the title.
That's all you need.
Just so Jennifer knew what I was talking about.
Breaking. 20-year-old film. Breaking.
But that's the thing. 20 years old, the film is this year. And StarWars.com announced that Star Wars Insider, the great magazine, still going strong, is part of a gasp 20th anniversary celebration of Attack of the Clones. To celebrate this, Star Wars Insider will be giving us Galactic Tales, 4 original stories, starting with issue 20 on March 15th. S.T. Bende will give us a story about Zam Wessel and Jango Fett and their kind of relationship, their working relationship and the situation leading up to the beginning of Attack of the Clones. Richard Dinnick tries to paint a complete picture of General Grievous in his story about the cyborg villain hunting for a Jedi artifact. Of course, General Grievous didn't show up in Attack of the Clones unless you read the novel where he kind of emerged in the catacombs down below. So interesting stuff there. George Mann has a tale about Dexter Jetster helping a friend in need. This is now my most anticipated Star Wars material coming down the line. Roddy Barnes, who also worked on that Mando comic, wrote a story about Mace Windu and a clone trooper squad hunting down a deadly enemy. Now, all 4 authors had similar statements about falling in love with Star Wars during the prequel era, and that era provides a wealth of storytelling opportunities. So first, I'll go back to y'all here. Jennifer, those 4 stories, you like this idea? What's jumping out to you? What do you think here?
I'm excited. I can't believe it's 20 years. That just makes me, oh my gosh.
It's like 5.
But I digress. I'm really interested in the Zam Wessel Jango Fett story just because of how we know how it ends. And so there's two ways it could go. And it could either be that we see, like, you know, their friendship, they're great buddies, and it kind of deepens that aspect of their relationship. So then obviously when we know how it ends, it's like, oh, it's all the more tragic. Or maybe they have more of like a tense relationship. Mm. And so then when we see the end, it's like, oh, well, that's to be expected. So yeah, I'm curious to see how they approach it. It'll be fun and just make Attack of the Clones that much more exciting to watch.
Yeah, love that. I love that there, Joseph. Joseph, the Dexter Jetster excitement's growing.
Oh, I am very. That's probably the one that I am the most excited about. But I'm just excited to see the beginnings of some celebration of the 20th anniversary. Mm-hmm. I understand that the celebrations for Phantom Menace being really big because that was such a seminal film. You know, yeah. The hype for Phantom Menace was like unlike anything else. So now we're going to have these rolling 20-year anniversaries. So I'm really excited to see some stuff come up for Attack of the Clones. I hope there's more. I hope Star Wars Celebration has a lot of celebrating of Attack of the Clones. For these particular stories, I'm with Jennifer. I'm very intrigued by Zam Wessel and Jango Fett. I know a lot of people are big fans of Zam Wessel and always want more content. I've always loved Jango. I'm even more intrigued with Jango now that I can relate it back to everything that we've learned about Boba Fett, right? Mm-hmm. To really be thinking about what kind of values is Jango teaching Boba? What kind of values is he demonstrating them? Yeah. You know, and if you can take a story like this and do you see the poetry with Boba's good relationship with Fennec, with maybe Jango's not great ultimately relationship with Zam, things like that. I'm very intrigued with the Grievous thing. I'm sorry, Ken, were you going to say something?
No, I know some of the Zam. There's something about what her statement. Then it's just a job right before she's dead, like making that a tragedy of someone who was just a bounty hunter taking a job and is now dead for it. And how that maybe ties in, not directly necessarily, but thematically ties into Boba Fett going just like, you know, we do all these jobs for people who get us killed, including my father who got Zam Wessel killed.
Yeah, right. Who got her killed by killing her.
Yeah.
Pretty direct. Yeah. The Grievous one is also really intriguing to me because I'm curious if it's going to tie into the general era or if there's something about this Grievous story that ties directly into the film Attack of the Clone, since it's part of this celebration. Mm. And then I love the Dexter Jester one, the idea that the author, George Mann, is talking about he could only dream of the level of details about the Jedi that emerged in the prequels, when he was growing up with the original trilogy. So that suggests to me that that's Dexter somehow helping out Kenobi, helping out another Jedi. I don't know. I just want to see Dexter with the four meat cleavers, one in each hand, taking care of business, helping out a Jedi. That sounds so exciting to me.
Yeah, I was just so excited to have Dexter get a little more time in the spotlight there. And what that's Dexter, man, helping a friend in need. You know, that's his theme song. You know, I love that there. And we celebrate this weird, wild character in a very important scene thematically in the prequels and Star Wars overall. Knowledge, wisdom, kind of the statement on what's going on with the Jedi through the eyes of Dexter. It's important. It's valuable. But it's just a fun, silly, weird, wild character that not everyone loves. But I love that George Mann does and wants to explore it. So I'm excited for all of these. Yeah, the Grievous one intrigues me just because I've grown to appreciate Grievous more and more over the years. What he represents in the Star Wars story and what he could represent to Anakin if Anakin was paying attention a little bit more to his path forward. A general statement there, but I love Grievous' place in the story, but always want more, which is what Richard Dennick was kind of saying in this interview here in his little statement there, just a complete picture of this character that he said, yeah, we didn't get a lot of Grievous in Revenge of the Sith, which for years was kind of my thought on it there. But then the Clone Wars comes along and, oh, okay. I see what I missed myself, Ken, missed about Grievous and Revenge of the Sith and his purpose there by spending more time with the character. So I'm very intrigued by what he has planned there. And you're right. Joseph, does it come directly out of Attack of the Clones, directly leads into Attack of the Clones, or is it years prior? We'll find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me also think about his lair, that he's going to take that artifact and take it back to his evil lair with all of his Jedi trophies and things like that. That will be interesting to see.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joseph.
His hatred of the Jedi is, you know, the kind of given is primary motivation in one of the Clone Wars animated show episodes. So I would love to see him hunting down more Jedi stuff, dealing with the Jedi anger. Jody Hauser also wrote that great one shot, where he's trying to destroy a temple and like it's he can't. It's so great.
Mm-hmm. I gotta read it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The those tales. It's the age of one shot mm-hmm. comics are great, and Jody's are some of the best in that series. Indeed, another reason why I wanted her to take a stab at Rise of Skywalker. she did. Final thought of this news story here. We are original trilogy generation. We're the old fogies around these parts here, kids. Here we are, Joseph and Jennifer, 20 years on. And we know here at Force Center, you know, we've each come to love and appreciate the prequels in our own way. The journeys are all different, but it's coming from that era, coming from experiencing them at a different age in those theaters. But here is another example of the prequel generation. I don't have the ages of all these authors in front of me, but the overriding statement seemed to be, hey, this was kind of an era in which I fell in love with Star Wars. And there's a lot of those grizzled weirdos and cool bounty hunters with stories to tell, which is something we carried out of the original trilogy era into the EU and card games and figures and naming figures and all these kind of things. So what are our thoughts here now from our vantage point of looking at the prequel generation coming around 20 years later and really getting to explore the era that pulled them into Star Wars, Jennifer?
I love it. It's been really cool to see and hear from fans that grew up with the prequels, how much love they have. They have these little, you know, whether it's a side character or a small moment, it's just like how we feel with the original trilogy. So I feel like, you know, passing the baton and I can just knowingly nod. Yes, yes, this is what we kids of the 80s experienced in the 70s. So yeah, it's time. And I'm glad that people are celebrating the prequels. And it took me a long time. And thank you, Joseph and Ken, for making me a prequel list. And I love these stories so much. So it feels good seeing that they're getting their due and that people are appreciating them and celebrating as they should.
Yeah. And to be clear, along the way, you know, even some of the EU stuff in the mid 2000s definitely came out of the prequels. And it's not so new to a lot of the people who loved them, but I think it's important that here we are at a big anniversary, just like with Phantom Menace, like Joseph mentioned, in 2019 at Star Wars Celebration Chicago. They have the big panel there and Ahmed Best shows up and everything. To go back now, 20 years later, that is a big number. And you just put in perspective, you know, that's less time between Phantom Menace, Return of the Jedi, you know, that or excuse me, more time between those films. So it's a big number. And I just think it's been valuable to watch this prequel generation get older and be, you know, real steadfast in their love for this era. It's inspiring, Joseph. It's inspiring.
Yeah, no, I think Rodney Barnes, who's writing the Mace Windu and the Clones story, said specifically that growing up with the prequel generation, and yeah, we've got to see some other stories over the years in comics and books in Clone Wars animated series of Mace Windu and the Clones. But it's thrilling for me to hear somebody of a different generation going, you know, Star Wars is this tip of the iceberg storytelling. And, you know, when we're kids, we learned that Han and the Rebels ran into a bounty hunter on Ord Mantell, and it just fires your imagination, right?
Yeah.
And you just go like, what other adventures they could have? So hearing from somebody that actively grew up with the prequels, you're watching Attack of the Clones and it's like, wait, you're telling me every one of these Jedi then have a bunch of clones and they go around doing things?
Yeah.
I want to tell that story. So to hear from somebody who is getting to tell that story is really exciting.
And I can't wait about, I don't know, 10 plus years when we get the announcement for the new Disney Plus series, Sidon Othano, Man About the Galaxy. And someone's like, you know, he always inspired me. He and Quiggold always inspired me. Now I finally get to tell a story. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Me too. It can't happen soon enough.
All right, that is our look at the Star Wars news. We're almost out of here. But before we do that, we are going to introduce a new segment called This Week in Star Wars History. That's probably not going to be the final title of this segment either. That's just a statement of what's coming and a title a lot of people have used. But yes, we are going to look back at the history of this franchise. It's fun for all of us fans to do that. And other shows do that. And other podcasts. And hey, we do it in our regular life. So we're going to do it here on the show every week on the news show. We'll end with looking ahead at something in the coming week. Try to celebrate joyful events, nostalgia. What do you mean 20 years have gone? All those kind of things will happen here. So our first one here, well, it might seem like a little bit of a sad one, but no one has ever really gone. On March 3rd, 2012, Ralph McQuarrie passed away at the age of 82. shoe. But his legacy remains as his designs and concept art continue to find their way into Star Wars, including in the Book of Boba Fett, with his Tusken Raider kind of hut tent design that showed up in that key chapter 2 of the story. So going back to the beginning, Joseph, Jennifer, what are some of our favorite pieces of Macquarie concept art? These are the things that we've lived with for so long. We saw, maybe even we didn't understand what we were seeing. I remember looking at him and going, well, that wasn't in the movie. That's shaped different there. Jennifer, what do you got for your favorite Macquarie art pieces?
I mean, it is incredible the impact that Ralph Macquarie has had on all Star Wars properties and how they continue to pull from his ideas. I mean, immediately I think of the Jawa crawler, right? That one of his paintings, and how we saw almost an identical shot in The Mandalorian. I mean, it's incredible. Of course, I love the Cantina painting that he did, where you see all the creatures and it's like kind of in the shadows of the quote unquote cantina, and you see an alien that looks like Zeb from Star Wars Rebels, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, he's a genius. Of course, the iconic painting of the droids, C-3PO and R2-D2, which just is like classic sci-fi, but it's also just a beautiful piece of artwork that could be, you know, displayed in any museum. It's just amazing what he did.
Displayed on a living room here. I'll throw a couple out here because I really want Joseph to take this segment home here. I've always grown up with just like I said, this weird, wonderful relationship with him where I was so young. I was like, that's not what Chewie looked like. That looks like an alien. Why am I seeing this? And then I started to learn what it was and learn about the process. So Ralph Macquarie and his art were one of my gateways into behind the scenes stories of Star Wars to understand this is how you make things. And this is how George got these made. Hey, I got this guy and he made this a reality by showing people what I was trying to get across them with my words here. So some of my favorite ones, actually come a little bit later where I was a little less confused, where it's a little more like, hey, that looks like Mark Hamill's face or something. I love a lot of the Hoth stuff. There's one of the, of Macquarie's version of the AT-AT walkers chasing what becomes a Tauntaun, but it's more like a lizard with two big feet and a rebel, possibly Luke on it. And the AT-AT's like shooting down and it's missing. And it was just such a action shot. And because I didn't see the movies, I would dream about, well, what would it be like to be on a Tauntaun in that battle facing those walkers? And then all the way in Battlefront 2, I finally got to experience it. So I love that. There's an shot of looking up at a walker as a speeder goes around with the tow cable, and there's flames in the sky behind it. That was the cover of one of the Art of books early on. Art of books. Love that one. And then the final one for me that I've always loved, and I have a trading card of it somewhere in a box, is this one of it's Vader and, you know, possibly what would be Moff Gerard, and then, you know, the Emperor and the Imperial dignitaries walking away from the shuttle, Imperial shuttle there with a bunch of royal guards around, and they've landed on the Death Star. And it's just this a beautiful shot that is similar to the ones I saw in the movies. So maybe that's why I liked it as a kid. But beautiful in the way it's just this, the full might of the Empire on display, and this kind of this, you know, stunning, dangerous beauty, almost like Krennic going, oh, it's so beautiful because it's just so horrible to see. But I've always loved that shot, probably why I love the Emperor's Royal Guards and always get the figures, just all that red on that art. I just loved it.
Those are some great picks. I'm curious, for me, the reason that I was even aware of the concept of concept art and specifically these images is because they were included in the trading card set, particularly for Empire Strikes Back, that they were like, you know, it had the character cards, and then it had the cards that marched through the story. And then at the end, there were these bonus cards that, and I'm sure I asked my parents, I'm sure my dad was like, it looked like somebody drew some pictures. It was like, why does it look kind of like them, but kind of different, but some things look exactly, what is this? And for me, that's just a celebration of, you know, whoever made that choice, to put this art in front of, you know, kids who just loved the movie and weren't going like, yes, I would like to get a making of book. But you bought cards because you wanted some pictures of Han Solo. And then this glorious art was back there. Is that, how are you both exposed to the concept art?
For me, it was some early magazine stuff I got. Maybe that Return of the Jedi one. And then later on the cards, because I did collect the Topps cards early on, but I don't think, I get into 83, but I think a little bit later in the late 80s, when I was in my big baseball card phase, that's when I picked up some of the art. And that's when I also picked up those books that may have came out in the early 90s.
Yeah.
So
that had all the cards.
Yeah, that seems late in the game, but it really isn't. You're still so young. You're still kind of learning how this process goes on. So it was kind of over time. But I just remember early on, wherever I did see them, I was really confused. Intrigued.
Intrigued. Jennifer, where did you first encounter Ralph McQuarrie concept art?
Yeah, I'm remembering magazines too. But then I remember looking at books at the bookstore. You know, I couldn't afford to buy them. I was probably like a young teenager or something. And I just think it's so interesting because, I mean, for as long as I can remember now, Ralph McQuarrie has been such an integral part of Star Wars. And how, gosh, yeah, I mean, I can't even remember. He's always just been a part of Star Wars, I think, because I was always so mesmerized by how things could look similar to what we saw on screen, he was such a visionary, and that always struck me. I mean, I think of like the Cloud City painting, right? And just like the orange and the yellow, and just, I was like, wow, he really, you know, George obviously told him, here's my idea, but like he took George's ideas and he brought them to life in a way that just, it was beyond my kid and now adult imagination.
Yeah. I think that's what I love about this whole story of Ralph McQuarrie. It obviously every single painting is good. Obviously some of them he did even, you know, for other things once the movie was kind of done, and you know, he wasn't necessarily devising the look, but the images where you can imagine Lucas saying to someone like, it's like kind of a city.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's kind of donut shaped and they're just floating in the clouds and you're like, cool, George, sure. And then the painting is like, that's the most vivid, beautiful, emotional thing I've ever seen. It makes you feel it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Cloud City is definitely one of my favorites. I think my other favorite is also on Hoth, but it's the one where Luke has crashed in the snow speeder. The AT-AT is approaching and Luke is large in the foreground. And it's just, I go back to my art school days, the composition, the energy of Luke's pose, which he's kind of bent over, but he is ready to run either away or toward the AT-AT. His fingers are curled. There's energy everywhere. And it's just, you know, it's a Star Wars image, but it's almost just this great emotional image of like a beast or trouble coming at you. And how are you going to handle it? It's gorgeous. That one might be my favorite. And then a final one for me, I'm going to shout out because I think I've seen it before, but I haven't concentrated on it because it's not one of the most famous. There's one from the end of Empire Strikes Back where Luke and Leia are looking out the window and the Falcon's taking off and it's got that great emotion. But then they're just two rebels standing around chatting like they just don't give a damn about what happened to Han.
Was he even part of the rebels? No, he wasn't.
They look like they're talking about their brunch plans while Luke and Leia are obviously in pain.
Love that one. Well, there you go. There's our look back at the wonderful life and career and legacy of Ralph McQuarrie, who passed away March 3rd, 2012. And we'll continue to look ahead and back at Star Wars history on this news show. All right, we're out of here for today. I'll let you know where to find us. We are on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well. Don't forget, tentatively planned right now is like pencil or erasable ink. On March 11th, we're going to do a live Q&A on our YouTube page there. Force Center is also on Facebook at Force Center Podcast. We're available in a lot of places, including Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. Always excited to have new people join on, support, and get into our Discord community, discuss Star Wars there. You can find me at KatNapsok or go to KatNapsok.com. We always like to shout out donation spots or charities, things of interest, a lot going on in the world. Like we said, we know, and there's a lot of places to put your energy too. So without a doubt, whichever ones we suggest are not saying this is the only one on our minds this week. For a lot of stuff going on over in Ukraine, it's almost overwhelming with the choices. And as always, it's tough to, you know, vet, make sure you're sending your money to the right spot if that's what you want to do. I'm going to highlight the Comeback Alive spot, which is savelife.in.ua. And I got that one recommended from the Kyiv Independent that I've been following on Twitter and their website, giving updated information on what's going on over there. So That is one spot. And also we want to highlight Equality Texas at equalitytexas.org. This is an ambitious campaign, focused on increasing pro-equality voter engagement in the upcoming 2022 elections. And it's part of the Turnout for Texas campaign there. More on that, I'm sure. Joseph, what do you have?
Yeah, for the thing that I would like to recommend this week is the site Vote Forward. Their website is votefwd.org. So this is a campaign where you can print out letters that are just encouraging people to vote, and you put in a little personal message of why you choose to vote. It's something that I've done in past elections. They just got their whole system for 2022 set up, and it is thousands and thousands and thousands of letters to write and send by October 29th of this year to convince people to use their power and vote on November 8th. I do not think that voting is the only tool in our arsenal. I don't think it is the one magic thing that will fix everything, but I think it is a huge power that we have, and I think it's really important to take that Star Wars lesson for me to use the power that you have, and if you have something that you can control, to make a choice and make a good choice. And that's why I use this site, is to convince people to just use their power. If you are interested in that, you can check it out at votefwd.org.
Great, as always. And don't forget to follow Joseph at Joseph Scrimshaw and josephscrimshaw.com. I have got to get the rhythm of three people.
Right.
Jennifer, we want to close with you and get you on out of here so you can get on with your day. We really are we're just thrilled to have you back in this capacity. And the Force Center listeners are so thrilled as well. This we know, but probably no one more excited than Joseph and I. Good to have you back. Where can I find you? And what do you want to highlight today?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be back. Thank you, Ken, Joseph. This is a real treat and a highlight of my day. Today, I'm recommending the nonprofit UNHCR. They are on the ground providing emergency supplies and life-saving care for refugees from Ukraine, Afghanistan, Yemen, and more. And by providing monetary donations, we can help provide these essentials, like including shelter, water, food, safety, and protection. And their website is www.unrefugees.org. You can find me on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Jennifer Landa, TikTok at Jennifer Landa. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember my own handle.
Is it 1137?
No, it's 11. Wait. Oh my God.
Your TikTok? I thought that was what it was. Jen.
11th. I don't remember now. Anyways.
Search Jennifer Landa.
Just, you'll find it on Instagram. It's been a long week.
Your TikToks are so good. Just Google Jennifer Landa TikTok and you will be rewarded, listeners.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you again for having me. I'll have more coffee.
Absolute pleasure. And thank you all for listening, supporting, and we are happy to have you on here, whether it's a nice, simple, routine-like distraction from the real world or a place to dive into the themes in Star Wars that affect the real world. We enjoy having you all here on this journey. So for Palpatine, who is most certainly going to be in every show coming forward, we'll see you next time. This was Force Center News.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Or your grandma here with us, making carne asada.
She does love a cold Corona.
Throw in some dancing.
Oh, we can watch the game.
I'll drink to that.
So a backyard concert with football, food, dancing, and Corona?
And your grandma.
Or we could keep it simple.
Simple is good. Want a Corona?
Thanks. Salud to the perfect day.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.